Let's pray. God, thank you for these children. Thank you for all our children. Thank you for the Sunday school teachers. Thank you for those who give their time to help our children learn about Jesus. Be with them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can head off to children's worship. I was anticipating a little bit more chatter from them, but that's okay. So we've taken this journey with Jesus. I have grown to marvel how Jesus can take an everyday incident and use it to teach something about who he is, something about the character of God, something challenging to us. And he's going to do that this morning in this small or brief text that we will read. It comes from Luke chapter 15, Luke 18, verses 15 through 17. And Luke tells us that people were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. Now, when the disciples saw this, they rebuked them, the people. But Jesus, he called to the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." This small passage revolves really around two themes. First, Jesus, next slide, is going to talk about the place of children, Jesus and children. And then he's going to make a statement to all of us as adults. But let's not run ahead. So you heard the story. It's probably the moms bringing babies, infants, to Jesus to have him touch them, to have him bless them. Put yourself in their shoes for a moment, especially in their world. Infant mortality is very high. There was also a culture in the Jewish tradition, maybe because of the mortality rate, that when you had an esteemed rabbi, you would want your child to be blessed by that person. And so, very likely, these moms are bringing their children, their infants, their babes in arms to Jesus. And he's touching them. He's blessing them. He's spending a moment with them. And the language in the original leads us to believe that this wasn't a one-off condition. This was happening regularly. That people were bringing their infants to Jesus on a regular basis. And then the disciples step in and they start shushing these people away. "Come on, get away from Jesus. You know, he's too important for this." You can just imagine what they were doing. Now, maybe they were doing it because these people were taking their place. You know, the disciples are normally the ones right around Jesus. And maybe these moms and infants were crowding out their space. Or maybe if you read just ahead, it's that rich dude that's lurking in the corner who's going to be next up to Jesus. And these disciples were wanting to play to Mr. Moneybags. After all, he's important and children are not. And you have to understand that. We have a much higher sense of honoring and caring for children than they did back in that day. Children, especially infants, were unimportant. I mean, it's hard for us to put our heads around that. But they really had next to no value in society at all. especially the babes in arms. You know, all work, no benefit. Suck off resources, nothing coming back. Now maybe when they got older, maybe when they reached, you know, what we would call those preteen years, they would begin to have value, but it was only value as parents looked at them to see the potential they would provide when they were adults. They had no value in themselves. It was then saying, oh, this kid's going to help me farm the land. This kid's going to help me in my cobbler shop. This kid's going to take care of me when I'm old. And they were projecting value on them because of what they would provide, not because of who they are. That's the general culture of the day. Now, we can't understand that, but that's how children were treated. No value. They were considered not adults. And until you were adult, you had no value. And then, of course, you know, women, you weren't valued as much as men and all that sort of crazy old world. And so it's not surprising that these disciples would be saying, hey, don't waste his time. He's an important guy. Don't waste his time. But Jesus stops the whole shmeal and he says, he rebuked them. Guys, cut it out. Stop that nonsense. These are important people. And Jesus actually expands the situation. Because the NIV and most translations are really faithful to the text. It says people were bringing babies to Jesus. But after he rebukes them, he turns and he uses a different word. He says, let the children. And that's a word that would cover from infancy, probably up to what we might consider teens, you know, just before you become an adult. You were a child. And he said, let all the children come to me. Give them access to me. Don't stop them from coming. And do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. So where moms were likely coming, just wanting a little blessing for their child, their infant, Jesus says, all these children should have access to me. Jesus is again turning his world upside down and extending value, extending worth, extending respect to a social group that would otherwise be overlooked. He does that over and over and over and over again. The big message is children, like any other person, even if they are disaffected, disvalued people in our society, should have complete and open access to Jesus. That, folks, is revolutionary stuff. I mean, we don't get that because we have elevated to some extent children. But back in the day, this is crazy stuff. All the religions of the day were basically adult religions. When you were old enough, you could make a decision and then you would go to the temple and then there were acts that were for only adults and they weren't child-friendly at all. I mean, this is new picture on the horizon of humanity, what Jesus is doing here. And it's interesting, it's in all three of the synoptic gospels. This is an important teaching, and important enough that God said it's got to get out there. And the church picked that up. We have little phrases in the Acts about households being baptized. If children, and they likely were included in that, I mean, the access of these little ones to Jesus is something the world doesn't know how to handle. Paul talks about how parents are supposed to connect with children And it grows out of this kind of a statement. Jesus is saying, children have value. They have worth. They should, in their own accord, be able to come to Jesus. But there's a phrase up here that haunts me. Let the little children come to me, okay, and do not hinder them. That became a series of questions for me. It's something the church should be wrestling with in every age and in every locality. Do we in any way hinder children from coming to Jesus? Whew. Do we in any way hinder children from coming to Jesus? I don't know if I can answer that question. My youngest is now mid-20s. It's been a lot of years since I've had the little ones hang over me. And these kids were pretty restrained. I don't know if any of us who aren't caring for little children can really answer that question. Are we hindering children from coming to Jesus? So I have a particular word to parents of younger children. Are we? Are there things in the way we do life here at PCOG, soon to be Living Hope Community Church? Are there things that we do here that are providing a glass wall to children? It's tough. But I really want your answers. You know, when you're married, and then that first child comes along, all of a sudden you realize that the life you had as a couple has to change. I mean, it can't go on the same way. Some of your values have to change. Some of your use of time has to change. Because those children need you. Remember after our kids came along, I gave up golf. I thought, I'll pick that up when I'm older. But I couldn't justify giving my life and work schedule taking, you know, 6 hours on a day I have off away from my kids. I made that decision because they were worth it. What decisions do we as a church need to make to value children? That's what I'm asking, and I'm asking parents seriously to help us. Now, we've announced it. We'll announce it every week until we get there. On November 5th, we're changing the worship time from 9:30 to 10. I mean, it's not a huge deal. The driving force behind that was parents with children. Because a couple of them mentioned that, you know, that little bit of time would really help. Doesn't matter to me. We could meet at 8 o'clock as far as I'm concerned. But that would be a glass wall to families with children. That would be a wall for children. We have tightened up the early portion of our service. You may or may not have noticed it. It's a little bit shorter. It's a little bit tighter. Again, because some parents said, with our children here, that gets a little long for them because we want to value children. But is there more? And I really, you know, I mean, I don't want to do dagger eyeballs at parents here, but please, seriously, let me know if there are things we could do to open wide the doors to children, which of course means to families with children, because they have value in and of themselves to Jesus. Not because they're the potential church, not because they're the potential leaders, but right now, God loves them. When I said that to the kids, I really mean it. He loves them just where they are. He loves their crazy questions. He's not afraid of that. I mean, the amazing thing is our God was actually a child once. Think about that. If he was fully human, he had those questions. You know, Daddy, why's your hand bleeding? Well, I cut it today, you know. You know, why can't I touch that pot, Mom? Because it'll burn your hand off. You know, I mean, fully human. So parents and caregivers, help me know if there's anything we are doing that hinders children, because those four words, do not hinder them, frighten me. Now, in vintage Jesus fashion, he spins this event on its head. He uses a real-time event to now make a word to everyone there, to the adults. And so we have Jesus and discipleship. You can go to the next slide. There's an interesting way to translate verse 17. Look at the one in the middle of the screen. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God as one receives a little child will never inherit it. Now, few translations go with that, but that is a very fair way to translate that line. I want you to think about that. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God as one receives little children. How well do you receive little children? Are kids a bother to you? When they get out of Sunday school and they run by, I know some of us who don't have little kids forget. But you know, is that seen as a bother? When a young child in the midst of worship makes a young child sound, are you like, because if it is, this translation of the text is a little bit scary. As one receives little children, how do you receive little children? How do you connect with and relate to and handle little children? Now, I have to be fair. That is, you know, a way to translate it. But most translations go with the standard one. You can go to the next slide. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God as a child or like a child will never enter it. And that was probably closer to Jesus' intent, but you know, I just think when God words things in a way that it can kind of tip two ways, since God chose those words and he could have been explicit if he wanted, he wants to open our eyes. So I do think this is the main way we need to think about it. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like little child will never enter it. What are the attributes of a little child? I mean, they are generally open to what we say to them. You know, they might not always obey, but the truth is they're really listening to mom and dad. You know, all the studies show that mom and dad still have more influence on children than their peers up to the teen years. You know, we may feel like we're losing control in our homes with TV and internet and all those things, but the truth is they connect with the adults that are there. They are open to those. They are trusting. I mean, they really do trust us as adults, particularly as parents. They may not always agree, they may not always understand, but there is a trust that children have in their parents that, you know, I mean, it puts adult trust to shame. Their view of mom and dad is bigger than life, you know. I mean, their mom and dad are everything. We've all heard those silly stories, you know, my dad can beat up your dad kind of things, you know. Whether that's true or not, it's their view because you're the parent. Wow. You know, kids pretty much are free from hypocrisy and pretension. You know, what you see is what you get. They haven't learned the skills yet of, you know, oh, I love that dress. You know, they just blurt out. And sometimes we get embarrassed as parents because they blurt out something. But they're just being real and honest and open. They're weak. They need help. Again, they may not always want it, but they know they need it. We've got these great rocks in our yard, and kids love to climb those rocks. And after two or three times up, you know, even the preschoolers can make it up there. They can figure it out. But those first few times, they want that adult nearby. Are we open with God? You know, that's what Jesus is saying here. Are we like children in our relationship with God? Are we open, really open to Him? Do we really trust? Do we have that kind of, wow, my God can beat up every God kind of thing? You know, where we just, wow, He's awesome. Do we treat God kind of, you know, in that sort of pretentious or hypocritical way? Do we try to always put on the good face for God? You know, when we pray, you ever notice some people change their voice when they pray? I mean, maybe it's just me and going to seminary, but I used to watch these pastors and they'd have a great voice, da 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 da, and then he'd go into the pulpit and they'd start to pray or sometimes preach, but generally it was when they pray and it was like all of a sudden, God, you know, and they get this like, where's that crazy voice coming from? Just be yourself. You know, does God love everyone? Yeah. Kids aren't afraid to ask that question. Just be honest is what Jesus says. Are we willing to be weak, understanding God is strong? You know, we live in a world where being strong, getting through it, pushing on, that's of high value. And yes, God wants us to stand strong. But we have to understand that these knees, these legs, no matter how strong they are, cannot withstand the fury that will come if God is not with me holding my hand. I will not climb to the top of those rocks if God is not beside me. And that's what Jesus is saying to us as disciples. Are we willing to be like little children? Not childish, but childlike, utterly dependent on God for who He is and what He can do and what He will do. Because He loves us unconditionally. So in these few words, Jesus challenges particularly His disciples to make sure that the world of God's kingdom includes children, that arms are open wide to children. And by extension, all those who are marginalized in our world. And then He challenges us in our own faith and our own walk to say, will we be like a child before God? Trusting, open, honest, real, weak, dependent on the One who is absolutely dependable. Let's pray. God, thank You for this little scene. Thank You for what it means. Thank You for loving kids and teaching us that opening our lives to children is a God thing, a wonderful thing. And thank You that we can depend on You no matter what. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.